Best in Class podcast is back with Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. It's the NFC East today and their draft breakdown. Looking back and some of the things that have happened since the draft, Sean's got a deep dive here, but it's quick, it's fast, and it's a little scary because the NFC East had a hell of a draft. Plenty of steals in here for you to know about and much more. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. Oh, my gosh. You know, I've had one of those weeks where I just want to talk football, and I'm trying to find time to do my podcast. I'm getting tons of emails and responses on my NFC South breakdown last week, and then also the Bucks draft. Thank you guys very much for listening. You can always reach me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. We're going to be breaking down the NFC East today, which is a very important division in football. We're going to start with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's going to be a shout-out to my CFO, Joe Cotillo, who is a humongous Dallas Cowboy. And we're going to be doing a breakdown, and we're going to start with them. We're going to go through all of the rookies. We're going to go through some training camp stuff that just happened during rookie minicamp. We're going to go into depth on some of these picks. But first, we have to thank Bill Curry Ford for allowing me to do my podcast. The Giant is doing extremely well. I'm very blessed to be the general manager. The community has embraced the largest service department in the country. It is a truly sensational thing. We just finished in the top 20 in certified pre-owned in the entire United States, and that's out of over 3,000 stores. So Tampa not only is becoming the it city in the United States, Bill Curry Ford is becoming the it dealership, which is very humbling, and I'm very happy for all the support. It's really interesting to meet all the people that we get to do business with in Tampa. We just, Josh Martin, who is also a friend of Joe Bucks fan in the podcast, Florida's Elite Restoration, talked to me, was wonderful, bought a van for his business, and Elite Restoration. So I can tell you something about them specifically. When we had a blue moon and a hurricane and high tide all at the same time in Pasigrill, my home was flooded. And his team came out immediately within 24 hours, had the house gutted and had the water drained to prevent any further damage. And then he worked with my insurance company diligently to make sure that I got the most money for my claim. And I can't thank Josh enough and his team. Amazing what they did. And then also, it's really nice, the Joe Buck fan support. They continue to send me customers and buying cars. So this week was a great deal for buying cars. And that's a good segue into, please visit BillCurryFord.com. See June specials. So what we're running this month is, you know, this is a vacation month. This is when school is out. So we're going to give everyone a vacation from their car payment, because that's what you need right now, is you're going to be spending money on vacation. So we're going to give you 3 months of deferred payments. So all the way through summer, you won't have a car payment at Bill Curry Ford. We also have 0% remaining on all 2023s. We have a nice selection left. We have 72 1/9 on F-150s. It's F-150 truck month. We have discounts up to $20,000, which is pretty amazing. And we're giving up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book. So please visit BillCurryFord.com. If you also have a service reservation, you can experience our world-class service department, which is setting records every day. May was another record-setting month. We have mobile service that goes out to your home or your business. We also have over 99 service loaners for our guests, and we have free pickup and delivery. We will pick a car up from your home, fix it, bring it back. It's just, we make everything so easy. We have over 9 valets to serve you when you drive into the service department. We do a very good job, and I'm very proud of everyone that does that. So if you want to set your appointment on your mobile device or on your desktop, laptop, if you're at work, we make it really, really easy. You want to buy a car, you can buy a car from home, service a car from home. So there you go. And now let's get into what we're all here for. It's the best 30 minutes of NFL talk, and we're going to get into that now with the Dallas Cowboys. So this is what Mike McCarthy had to say after rookie minicamp. He said, "They come in on the weekends. I see them doing extra. Those are the things that I look for. I look for their interactions with coaches, their ability to communicate." McCarthy also added that this was the best class that he's ever had since he's been a head coach. That's a lot to say off of a 4-day minicamp, isn't it? It's kind of crazy when you think about what they have. So basically, in the first round, 29th overall, and Dallas traded down, they got Tyler Guyton, And Tyler Guyton is going to start for the Dallas Cowboys. He might even start at left tackle. And we're going to touch on that at the end after I go through all of where these guys do. But he basically came out of Oklahoma. He's an enforcer, right? So he's a very tough, big gentleman that is considered, you know, has that physical edge. He didn't allow a sack in 355 pass blocking reps, which is really great. Anyway, this is a plug-in guy. The offensive line for the first round was incredible. How many offensive linemen were taken? Not guards, not centers, but we're talking about just tackles. It set an NFL record, which is also pretty incredible that on the 29th pick, you can get a starting left tackle in the NFL. Great job, Dallas, on Tyler Guyton. I think he's a winner. Their next pick, number 56 overall, is a guy that I'm not high on, and that's Marshawn Kneeland out of Western Michigan. This is a guy that had 4.5 sacks in a very weak division. So came out of Western Michigan, basically. I mean, when you look at this guy, I had so much time broken down on Marshawn Kneeland. I watched all of his tape because I thought there was a possibility the Bucs could draft him. So, of course, I had to know everything about him, and the more I saw how stiff he was and the more I saw that he didn't have any bend, and the more I saw that, you know, he was more of a projection guy than he was a guy that actually tallied a lot of sacks at what I would consider a subpar Western Michigan league, right? So I expected a lot more from Marshawn Kneeland, but apparently he's done very well in camp, but we'll see how that goes. I'm telling you, the guy's stiff. He looks like a robot coming off the side. And that doesn't make for a good pass rusher, but we'll see. The Cowboys picked Micah Parsons. So, I mean, that was a guy that was extremely misused at Penn State. And again, Lita Kemper will tell you how much that he cannot stand Franklin at Penn State. He seems to have all of this talent and not be able to win any games at Penn State. But Marshawn Kneeland, to me, is still a question mark, Beebe. So in the third round, they had two picks, number 73, Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. You know, obviously, this was a guard that we talked about early on in my draft podcast on Best in Class. I think that he was one of the best guards in football. If you go for PFF grades, he had a 91.8 pass blocking grade, which ranked first among all guards in college football. He allowed two sacks his entire college career, and pretty incredible when you think about it. And he also has center experience. So I'm interested to see if this is a guy that's going to start at center or guard. But, you know, but think about it. If the Dallas Cowboys got Guyton and Beebe in the first, you know, three picks of the draft and two of them start, that's pretty incredible. In the other third round pick, this is a gentleman that I struggle with his last name. So please send me the emails at Sean Sullivan, bestinclass at Bill Curry Ford. You can get me at S. Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. You can send me emails, text, which is what I get. I always get the guys that go, Sean, can't you learn the names if you're a so-called draft expert? Let me tell you something. I say these names over and over again. I still don't get them. I listen to the Google pronunciation. I go on to the – and I watch all the snaps. It's just one of those things that I'm never going to get. It's never going to happen. So Maurice Luafau out of Notre Dame, that's the best I got, right? So you guys can send the emails. So here's a guy that I was really high on at linebacker out of Notre Dame. Excellent pick in the third round. Violent competitor. I love his physicality. He's not going to be great in pass coverage, but he's going to be terrific in the run game, and he can project as a pass rusher. I think he has good size. I'm not going to say he's undersized. I think he has good size. He has great speed. I think what you're going to see is a guy that sometimes overruns plays, which is why he fell to the third round. But what a great pick in the third round. And they didn't have a fourth round pick. So in the fifth round, at pick 174, they got cornerback Kalen Carson out of Wake Forest, right? What a defensive back draft this was. I mean, you could get a defensive back all the way fifth, sixth round that could start in an NFL. I mean, this was an incredible depth at a defensive back position. So he played for Dave Carl Clawson, right? He's very physical, great speed. I think he's going to be a guy that can make plays with a limited amount of time. So, you know, you have Trayvon Diggs there. He had five incompletions in 2023 in coverage. There were a lot of people that said that Carson was a second-round pick, and they got him in the fifth round. Now, I'm not saying he's a second-round pick, but, I mean, he has a lot of physical tools, and he can play zone, and he can play man. So this is a guy that I think – out of all the what I've seen so far, is in the fifth round, Carson is a steal, an absolute steal for the Dallas Cowboys. So I think he's going to get playing time. I think that's going to be really great. In the sixth round, they took Ryan Flournoy out of Southeast Missouri State. This is a guy that I did not have in my best-in-class breakdown. Didn't do a lot with him. Don't know much about him. The only thing I found on him was he has really good hands. He doesn't drop a lot of balls. But other than that, he really doesn't have any other physical attributes or big numbers that I would go over. So not quite sure what they were doing, what they saw in him. But in the sixth round, he's just a flyer special teams guy. Tackle Nathan Thomas in the seventh out of Louisiana. He's an absolute mauler. This is another guy that just plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's very mean. Run blocker, not pass blocker. Has great athleticism, but again, he struggled in pass protection, which again, that's something he's going to have to work on. I think when you're talking about Nathan Thomas, he's a guy that's going to contribute, maybe a practice squad player. I don't think he makes the Dallas Cowboys. And the other seventh round is a interior defensive lineman, Justin Rogers out of Auburn. Rogers is a guy that's another run-stopping, big defensive lineman to put in there to help the Dallas Cowboys stop the run. I think he actually has a chance to make the team. As you know, the Dallas Cowboys struggled at certain times to stop the run during the season. So I think that was a great flyer in the seventh round. So to recoup the Dallas Cowboys picks, Tyler Guyton, who's a starter, I think he's going to start. Marshawn Kneeland is not going to start. BB is going to start out of Kansas State. He's going to start at guard or center, probably center. Maurice out of Notre Dame is going to be working into the rotation. Carson out of Wake Forest has a chance to break into the at least a rotation at corner. And then Ryan Flournoy out of Southeast Missouri State, I think he's a special teams player. Nathan Thomas is another guy that I think is a special teams player or a practice squad player. And then Justin Rogers out of Auburn might work his way onto the roster. So overall, it's a very solid draft for starting players for the Dallas Cowboys. And for McCarthy to come out and say this was the best class he's ever drafted after 4 days of practice, that's a lot to say because you haven't even seen these guys play in a game. But I looked at the mini camp. So not only did I do the research on the players, I like to see what the coaches say about them after they've already seen them. And right now, in first-team projection starting left tackle, they have Tyler Guyton penciled in at number one, which is pretty crazy after just a rookie mini camp. And guess who they have is the second and at center right now. Second team is Cooper Beebe. And he's second. So he has a chance to actually start. So they might have, just like I said, they might have gotten two starters in the first three picks. And then Carson and I talked about that. And they were talking about Kalen Carson actually contributing as a slot corner or a third corner on the defense right away. So congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys on a very solid draft. All right, moving on to the New York Giants. This is a shout out to Chris Meyer, who's a big Giants fan, who's the GSM of Bill Curry Ford. So here's your Giants, Chris. So in the first round, Malik Nabers at LSU, sixth overall. It's about time that the Giants drafted a wide receiver. You know, their quarterback has had zero weapons. I'm sorry, they drafted Hyatt last year, which is pretty good. I think that you're going to see Jalin Hyatt like really come into a second year. But adding Malik Nabers, you're adding a superstar to your team. I think that he's a can't-miss product. I think he's going to be really, really great for the New York Giants. I think he has a chance to be Rookie of the Year just based on the volume that I think he's going to get as a player as long as he stays healthy. Safety Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota was one of my favorite safeties in the draft. He's absolutely a stud, absolute stud at safety. He will fit what the Giants do tremendously. In the third round, cornerback Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. It's really interesting because the Giants drafted Deontay Banks in the first round last year, and now they add another guy in Andrew Phillips. And the really interesting thing about him is he played in the SEC, which I love, as you know. I feel like cornerbacks, especially with the quarterback play in the SEC, they have to be good, they have to be physical, and they have to play the run. And Andrew Phillips is a guy that glued to his wide receiver. So I think between Deontay Banks and Andre Phillips, the New York Giants have, you know, really got some things cooking with grease here. In the fourth round, they went with Theo Johnson out of Penn State, which was a really up-and-coming guy at the tight end position. They were really talking about him really being a better NFL player than he was a college player. He did have 669 yards and 11 touchdowns in two seasons in college, But from what I understand, this is another Penn State guy. And then we're going to go back to, you know, Lita Kemper and Franklin talking about what is going on with Theo Johnson. But you might see him, you know, sneak out and actually be a pass-catching tight end out of Penn State. I mean, that would be wonderful for him. In the fifth round, they went with Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue. He's a running back, right? The really interesting thing about him, he just does everything well. You know, he's like one of those running backs that doesn't have one thing where you're like, okay, he can break the long run, or he's really good yards after contact, or he has a really good jump cut. No, this guy just does everything. He's very similar, in my opinion, to a lot of the Georgia running backs that come out who are just well-rounded running backs. Also, that he can catch. His NFL comparison, you know, is Devin Singletary, which is ironic since Devin Singletary is on the Giants now starting. So if you think about it, I think they picked a guy that they could just plug and play back and forth between Tracy and Singleton, which I thought was really interesting. The other thing is that, you know, Tracy only had 114 carries in his career. So there's really not a lot of tread on the tires. So, you know, who knows what they got with him, but I think he's going to be a good backup running back in the NFL. So good for him. The Giants came back in the sixth round. They only had one more pick and got Darius Moussa out of UCLA. Not going to try to pronounce his name better. He had 137 run stops in 2019 at Hawaii and then UCLA. This is a special teams linebacker guy. I didn't go over him in my linebacker breakdown. Again, he was a sixth-round draft pick. But recapping, so they had Neighbors, which is a starter. Newbin, I think, starts. Phillips, I think, is definitely in the rotation. Theo Johnson, depending on the health of the other tight ends for the Giants, might work into the rotation. Tyrone Tracy is going to be a solid backup. What a draft for the New York Giants. Congratulations, guys. You probably got three starters, possibly four starters on that team. And you finally got a star wide receiver. Now, this is going to bring us to one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles. And when I say one of the worst teams, it's not just that the team is bad. The city is bad. Everything about Philadelphia is terrible. The city, the people, it's just the armpit of the United States. And I hate talking about the Eagles. I hate going over their players, but I have to do this because the Philadelphia Eagles, the last 3 years, have been one of the best drafting teams. Last year, I thought they had one of the best draft classes, and then this year, of course, they had one of the best draft classes. It's really getting old talking about how good they draft. But, you know, the Bucs in the first round of the playoffs beat them into the ground, you know, like the lowlifes that they are. So that was really great. Doesn't matter how good you draft, sometimes the other team just beats you in the mouth, right? And that's what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. And they went home and had to shut their mouth, and they had to go home to their dirty city with their dirty people. And they had to go, you know what, we're losers, which makes me happy. Because if you're an NFL fan like me and you have to listen to NFL Network and ESPN and talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, it's constant. It's a constant headache to have to listen to them talk and talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. There must be nothing else in Philadelphia besides the Eagles, because you never hear about anything else, right? There's nothing else good about that city. It's pretty crazy. But here we go. I'm going to go through this. I do have one Philadelphia Eagles fan that lives in Tampa that emails me. He seems like a decent human being, but I'm going to reserve my judgment just because he's a Philadelphia Eagle fan. There has to be some part of him, you know, that's hidden that I probably wouldn't like, right? But the part that I do know, I actually do like, and I'm going to run through this for him. So in the first round, pick 22, Quentin Mitchell out of Toledo was my number one cornerback in the draft. He's a stud. The Eagles got him at 22. They got an instant star cornerback at 22 in the draft. Sucks, because Quentin Mitchell's a good player. The second pick and 40th overall, they got Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who I have as a safety. I told you he was going to be a safety, and guess what? In training camp, they moved him to safety. Surprise. Every other draft pundit had him as one of the top corners. I don't know what they were watching or if they even know football. He's clearly a safety because he can't backpedal as a cornerback, but coming down the downhill, he's a perfect tackler. He can make plays. He can intercept the ball. He's going to be a tremendous player for the Philadelphia Eagles. Number in the third pick, number 94 overall, edge Jalen Hunt is an edge out of Houston Christian. This is a really strange pick because I think this is a little bit higher than I had Hunt in when I did it. He's more of a project, which I thought was interesting. But I guess when the Eagles keep drafting these star players every single year, and somehow they keep falling to them without them even having to trade up. It just is what it is. I think Hunt, I would put a question mark next to him because that's going to be a project guy. In the fourth round, running back Will Shipley out of Clemson's a solid running back. Do it all, you know, like Swiss Army knife guy. Showed some explosiveness at the end of his career that I didn't think he had. I watched some of his tape at the end of the year. He was breaking some runs. I think there's some untapped talent with Will Shipley. I think just because of his size, he's not going to be an everyday back. But I think for the compliment that the way Philadelphia is going to use him in the offense, he's going to catch some balls. He's going to play special teams. He might return kicks for them. I think he's just a great weapon at 127 in the fourth round. Fifth round, wide receiver Anaya Smith out of Texas A&M. Here's a guy that I think is extremely dangerous. He had 20 missed tackles in the open field, which was seventh in all of college football. Out of 102 passes thrown to him that he caught, he only dropped two out of his last 100 passes. That's pretty impressive. Here's another guy that I just think, how in the fifth round did Anaya Smith make it to the fifth round? I mean, again, they stole him. And then in another fifth round, they got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Here's a guy that I thought the Bucs were going to be very high on, and that I thought the Bucs were going to draft a linebacker, but I didn't know how much they loved Deloach out of Florida State, which they signed as free agent. So Jeremiah Trotter Jr. in the fifth round at pick 155, being that his father was a massive Pro Bowler Hall of Famer for the Philadelphia Eagles. He gets to play in his dad's shadow, which is really cool for him. He's a physical linebacker, can tackle. He's going to be a great addition to the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to play better than his fifth-round status. Then in the fifth round at pick 172, they got my favorite guard in the entire draft, Trevor Keegan out of Michigan. If you guys listen to my podcast for draft, I had the Bucks drafting Trevor Keegan in the fifth round in my projection draft. He's just an absolute mauler of a man, big, strong, physical, run mauler, can pass block. He's just going to beat the other team up. Extremely well coached at Michigan. Harbaugh did a number on that kid. That kid knows what he's doing. He's going to be a pro. Trevor Keegan's going to be an incredible addition to the Philadelphia Eagles. In the sixth round, they got Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, which is a great value at 185. Here's a guy that a lot of people were trying to make a tight end at the combine. I don't think he's going to play tight end because, you know, he's 6'7". I think he's just going to be a guy that they're going to work into a red zone target, possibly in a 3 or 4 wide receiver set. You bring it, you know, he's going to be a terrific, like, chain mover. I don't think he's going to be an everyday volume guy. I think he's going to move the sticks on third down, and I think he's going to catch some touchdown passes. So I'm not going to say congratulations, but he's a good pick for 185. And then rounding up their draft, they picked Dylan McMahon, who was a center out of North Carolina State. It was a guy I had my eye on as a backup in the NFL for the Bucs to have a guard-center combination. He only gave up 12 pressures at center on 361 passing snaps. He's a very, very good pass blocker, and I think he makes the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you go back and you look at this draft, Quinn Mitchell, Cooper DeJean are going to be stars for the Philadelphia Eagles. Hunt, I'm going to put a question mark. I think he's years out. Shipley, I think, contributes right away. Anaya Smith, I think, works into the rotation. Jeremiah Trotter is going to be in the rotation. Trigger Keegan's going to fight for a starting position. I'm telling you, he's that good. Johnny Wilson's going to be, I think, a third down red zone target. And Dylan McMahon's going to make the team. So in my opinion, when I'm looking at this, all of their picks will make the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is a very strong roster for these rookies to make. But I just don't see how they could cut any of these guys at their positions. I think, the Philadelphia Eagles had an incredible draft, and it's going to be one of the best drafts that I'm going to go over on any of my podcasts. I hate that about myself and about the Eagles and about my podcast. But again, it is what it is. I got to tell the truth. They're doing an excellent job. Moving on to the team formerly known as the Redskins, okay? So in the first round, they got Jaden Daniels, second QB off the board. Again, it was a QB draft like no other. It's a historic QB draft. Jalen Daniels is the real deal. I've been following him through rookie minicamp. He's lighting it up. He is everything that was advertised. He's going to run the ball and throw the ball down the field. Washington finally got their dream QB. I think he's going to be outstanding. And it concerns me that we play them first because I really would like to have tape on him before the Bucs play him. Do you remember Tennessee Reddy? when we're all Tennessee ready and we got blown out by Marcus Mariota's first start because he's a running quarterback and we weren't prepared for the option, for the QB option, Jaden Daniels doesn't need to run QB options. If when he drops back and there's nothing there for his first progression, he's just going to sidestep a couple steps and then he's going to take off like the fastest quarterback you have ever seen in watching football. Jaden Daniels is going to be the greatest running quarterback besides Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson. You can talk about all that. Jaden Daniels is a gazelle of speed. If he sees an opening, you're talking about a guy that can take it to the house. That's what scares me about Jaden Daniels. I believe he's a franchise quarterback. I've said it all along. I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. I don't know what his ceiling is because I really don't like his touch and I don't like his intermediate balls, which in the NFL, you really have to throw those 7 to 15-yard throws consistently, and that's not what he does well. But if you're talking about throwing the ball down the field, he is the best in this draft at throwing the ball down the field. And he's going to scramble for first downs all game long, and it's going to be frustrating because it's going to be 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 6, and this guy's just going to scamper for the first down and slide and stand up and keep their drives alive. So what a great pick. Congratulations to Washington. They got a guy, right? In the second round, pick 36, they got an interior defensive lineman, Zerhan Newton. This is a guy that Lita Kemper and I were super high on. This is a guy that I thought, if we had drafted him, would have pretty amazing. If you think about it, the front three would have been Vea, Kancey, and Newton. That would be pretty amazing and intimidating as a defensive line. But he had foot surgery, which I think is why he fell to 36, or I think he would have been a top 20 pick. I think he's going to be a star for Washington. Again, he's out of Illinois. And then cornerback Mike Sandrichel, that's the best I got, guys, out of Michigan. This is a guy who was very well coached. He's very highly rated. Fell to pick 50. He actually had first round buzz. It's a steal. Washington got a steal with him. And then in the second round, again, pick 53, tight end Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. I think that Ben Sinnott might be the closest, you know, to being a breakout tight end in this draft. You know, we had several breakouts, you know, last year, you know, with the Detroit Lions. And then, you know, you had the Buffalo Bills had another one. So and then in Denver, you have another breakout tight end. And then, so, I mean, I think that Ben is going to be a guy that's going to surprise a lot of people. He was in the second round, pick 53. I think he's going to have a sensational rookie year. And the third round offensive tackle, Brandon Coleman of TCU, he was definitely better than 67 overall. Washington stole him. I think he starts for Washington. Luke McCaffrey in the third round, I think is high for him. I don't think he does a lot spectacularly. I think he's just a guy that can, you know, and I think that third round pick 100, I think they were going more for his explosiveness and hoping that translates from Rice to the NFL. I think that he's just a pretty raw guy, and I think he's got a lot of work to do. In the fifth round, Jordan McGee out of Temple is a solid linebacker. And pick 161, Dominique Hampton, Washington, safety. In the fifth round, here's a guy that is going to contribute as a rookie for sure at the safety position. There wasn't a lot of safeties that went, but the ones that did can play. In the seventh round, Javonte Jean-Baptiste out of Notre Dame, edge rusher. Here's a guy that had a lot of buzz going from an undrafted free agent to being drafted by the Commanders. What a draft for Washington. They got their franchise quarterback. They got an amazing starting defensive lineman. They have a starting corner. They have a starting tight end. And they have a starting tackle. Washington murdered the draft. Congratulations to the team formerly known as the Redskins. What an amazing draft. The NFC East between Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas, and the Giants. As the NFC East, they brought a massive amount of talent into the NFL. Congratulations to these general managers. They killed it. I can only question a couple of the picks, but overall, the drafts were absolutely sensational. Again, thank you for listening to Best in Class NFC East Breakdown. I will be returning with another breakdown on the NFC next week. Email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with your questions and comments. Please go on to Apple Play and leave reviews for me. I have a bunch of perfect reviews, so I'd love for you to review the podcast if you listen. Please listen to Joe Bucks Fan as well, my friends and partners. And I am very, very blessed to do the podcast. Again, very, very, very thrilled to be the general manager of Bill Curry Ford in a time where the giant has returned. So this is the best time that I could ever be the general manager of Bill Curry. I'm excited. Please visit BillCurry.com and see all of our amazing June specials, to include a summer without payments. So please look us up. Book your service appointment online with pickup and delivery mobile service. And we have 99 service loaners to serve you. Again, follow us at Bill Curry for Tampa, Facebook, and X. I look forward to seeing you guys next time. Have a great time this week.